Good morning and welcome to our Live Talk program. This is Lloyd Grubb here, your host on Revive Reform Radio, doing our Live Talk program covering natural health on this year. Wednesday morning, rise and shine and give God the glory. And this morning here, I'm looking at a topic. They have healed the hurt of the Americans slightly through mega lies con. Welcome again. Hopefully at a blessed night rest and ready to take on the challenges of this day. Thanks for dropping by here with me. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you for the blessings of your word, for the blessings of your prophetic utterances and what you laid on in solid form, dear Lord, that we might not be deceived by various new crops of deceptors and deceivers. May you be with us, dear Lord, as we peruse your word and contemplate and meditate on these thoughts. May you bless us, we pray, that we might stay focused, dear Lord, and not be deceived. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome again to this morning program. Sorry for the little delay here. I'm looking at this topic. They have healed the hurt of the Americans slightly through mega lies and cons. So nothing really has changed. The reality continue to roll on. So one way to see how mega, which is make America, MAGA, which is make America great again, has helped to better the American carnage is through health and debt outcome. The American carnage got worse. And so this is important, as you'll see here, that one of the things that happened when the presidency started his role 4 years ago, he started with a promise that he's going to end the American carnage. And so he acknowledged the fact that there's a carnage going on, and he knew that his position and could have helped the situation to get better, not to get worse. So my premise here again is one way to see how MAGA, Make America Great Again, has helped to better or worse the carnage is through health and death outcomes. The American carnage get worse. It didn't get better in the right way. It was supposed to get better. Things were supposed to improve for the forgotten Americans, the president had said 4 years ago, the people who were forgotten, a little bit shy of 4 years ago in his inauguration. So I want to look at that here. And so my main theme for this week is when doing everything to save a country, institution, or a person ends up destroying it. So this is what we're still looking at here. So we have to take lessons. When we study prophecy, we're studying about nations, but we're studying about individual personalities. The nation personality, as outlined by prophecy, is simply the individuals in the nation, and this is how they work. It is this kind of suicidal behavior that we see so emblazoned in the American people. So when doing everything to save a country, institution, or person ends up destroying it, and we are just observing how destructive the last 4 years is for this week. So notice here in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, and then verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. So that's very interesting, because if you I've listened to people outside of the nation speaking about the nation, and they talk about America as it being a very religious land. But yet, similar to Israel, Israel would be most naturally the most religious land at the time in the Middle East. And yet, as you look at that, you say, wait a minute, but when you read the prophets, you're like, what was going on in Israel? Sometimes it would describe Israel as there were things happening worse in Israel than was happening in the pagan lands. So why? Because there was no truth. And what is the main idea here in our country? This idea of fake news, fake, everything fake. And as I outlined to you before, earlier this week, that this idea here that when an authoritarian leader, a dictator, or somebody that want to dupe the people come in power, every information, every source of knowledge and wisdom in the country before they came into power is now fake, and they're the only source of truth. Notice here, there's no mercy. So the major thing that we saw was that the aim that America needed mercy. This is not my opinion. This was the president's opinion. When he came into power, he says the American carnage, which we've been covering very clearly here, was going to come to an end. He was going to address it. And yet he came in and the things he did was to roll back anything that was done by any of the previous administrations to stop the American carnage. There is no knowledge of God in the land. The land is filled with so much false prophet that it makes your head spin. Notice it continues, says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touch at blood. This is part of the American carnage. What we're reading about here is the description of the Jewish carnage that was going on back in the day. Notice here, therefore shall the land mourn, and we can testify to that. And everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall languish. This text here is one of the reasons why I say health outcomes is one of the powerful way to observe if the American carnage was fixed or was it improved. And when you look at almost all matrix, suicide, obesity, the various different diseases that comes from obesity, the numbers have gone up, didn't go down. One of the old ideas that the president came in with and the old idea that his followers came in with, if you remember, Michelle Obama was doing a program where she was trying to get fruits and vegetables in what they call areas that are food deserts, where there's not a lot of natural foods in those areas, whether it be urban or rural area. And the conservatives went after her because she have a big buttocks and she was a bigger framed, bigger body black woman. So they ripped her to shred, calling her gorilla, ape, all kind of crazy things, and say that, you know, how her with her big butt can help us improve her health. So this was just a massive attack on what is normally the more, natural frame for a black woman. So this is the type of stuff that they did. And so they went heavily against anything natural and healthy because it's anti-conservative and anti-rural whites. But again, who are they shooting in the foot? See, so a health outcome is a very powerful way of looking at what is going on and how to address it. So the carnage continues. Because if you're, you know, this is the idea that I've noticed in politics. If your side does not put forward an idea and it comes from the other side, it's of the devil. And that when society gets like that, it's basically a circular firing squad. They're going to destroy each other because it doesn't matter. So that means if I drink water and I'm liberal, or I'm conservative, well, whoever is the opposite will stop drinking water and they'll basically die of thirst because water is bad because conservative or liberal drink it. This is the type of mindset we have gotten to. Very crazy. So one thing that's happened also with this languishing, because with diseases, when you don't eat fruits and vegetables, you will basically have a slow punishing death because you lack the nutrients you need, the phytonutrients that God created Adam and Eve to eat in the garden, they become anti it. So he tell you they're unbiblical. They don't know no truth. Another important thing to note here with languishing disease, COVID-19, one of the sad reality of COVID-19 is that 10%, they say at this point, last time I checked, 10% of all people get COVID have what they call long haulers, and they have long COVID, which are the two phrases to use to describe it. Where the person has a languishing disease, they're suffering for a long time and not getting over the disease. And so much of the society now is dealing with various different type of disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, various different coronary artery diseases, autoimmune diseases, that they're just basically suffering for a while, COPD, all kind of stuff, that are languishing disease. You languish long before you die. Sad, but that's the reality. Now, what was done to address this? Basically, I see nothing. If you saw something, I will be corrected. I don't mind. I just want some information. I've not seen the information. Notice here, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. As we know, most of the evangelists, not just the televangelists, but evangelists that were doing good work, used to come from America. Now it seems like the Lord is sending evangelists to America. It is a sad reality. It seems like America now is a production house for false prophets and con men. and conspiracy theories, instead of preaching the gospel, they have rejected the Bible and gone to confusion. They're talking about lizard people and shapeshifters and all kind of weird alien stuff, instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus about angels and fallen angels and, you know, just the gospel, the Bible narrative. They've gone over to a different type of gospel. And notice here, because they have rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. There's no question that this can be easily applied to America, because America used to be the country that evangelized the world, that talked about freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. Now we have, for 4 years, done a total attack on anything to do with true religion, because false religion has become gods. Weird people have become the preachers. And con and conspiracy is the name of the game, even in the preaching ranks. Seeing thou has forgotten the law of thy God, lawlessness abound. I will also forget thy children, and will it have seen a rate of increase with the debt of young men in the country and young women. So they have healed the hurt of the Americans slightly through MAGA lies and cons. This is what has happened. Now, important text before I go to some of the what I want to talk about here for today when it comes on to outcomes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this very important, famous, well-known passage of scripture. This passage of scripture was used, I think it was by the, almost certainly was by president, the vice president for his speech. And the vice president used this text to talk about how a nation is blessed. And 4 years later, I can judge well and look at this text and know right was not done. Notice here it says in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So I pause here because somebody said, well, you know, the Jews were called by Christ, God's name. Well, not really per se, it's God's people. But if any group of people could claim that they're called by his name would be Christians. They're called by Christ's name. This is something they claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. So if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves, notice humility, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So what has happened in 4 years? We're at the end now. Not only did we see a convolution of what we call the end, almost the end, because we're not fully at the end yet. We have a week to go. And anything could go, because we see now people worried that the followers of the president could run a coup and try to murder people to take over the country. And people are genuinely worried about that, including the FBI. This is what the American carnage was supposed to not be like. Why are we here? Because again, the whole premise that the vice president says from this text should be fulfilled, never got fulfilled. What should have happened? If my people are called by my name, should humble themselves. That's the first thing. For a person who, I've looked at it and I've not seen one liberal, you know, the conservative will say that is the greatest 4 years, but they never give you an example. So, not one example of something that was done that you could say, why would a person keep claiming, and his followers, that this is a 4 years, the greatest year of American president, probably only outside of Abraham Lincoln. And that this is one of the best 4 years and one of the best presidents ever walked the face on the planet, or the greatest thing, and all this great talk. It's not humility. See, humility doesn't mean that you don't perform. Just keep that in mind. Humility does not mean you don't perform. What humility is that you make your actions speak louder than your words. It is not talking about how great you are. It's showing that you did great things. As I said yesterday, where are the Hoover dams? Where is the Space Force? All the crazes of curing cancer? All this braggadocious over-the-top talk. You watch a person, you know, there's a principle that is so powerful that the bigger the show-off, is the worse the sin. The more a person need to talk all this greatness about them is the more sinful they are and the more failed they are. Because when you do good job, your work speaks for itself. You don't have to say that you're great. You point to the result of your greatness. And then everybody will be like, oh, you did that? Yeah, that's me. So if my people will humble themselves, first thing, what we have had is one of the biggest show-off. And the sad reality is, when you saw the arrest, when you saw the arrest and the people being arrested, you find out that they're being arrested at grandma's house. And you'd be like, you've been arrested. So where's this greatness? Man, we need to humble ourselves. We all sinners saved by grace. And if they would pray, what are they praying for? What are they praying for? You can know what people are praying for. Are they praying for the kids that were being separated from their families? Did they pray for those kids? Because the only moral thing they pray for is they pray for the kids that been aborted. But the kids that are alive, they don't pray for them. Were they praying for the Meals on Wheels? Did they fast in their churches and pray for the people who were being shot in the street by police innocently? Did they fast and pray for the people who were losing Meals on Wheels? Did they pray for all the suffering that's going on in the world? For people who the country is simply trying to take over their property so they can get the oil underneath the ground? Are they praying for the refugees that were created? Almost all the refugees that were created by what we call the war on terror. Almost every single one of them globally, the largest refugee crisis the world has seen in a long, long time. Some people don't know if it's the largest the world has ever seen. Did they pray for these people? So that's the problem. What are you praying for? Well, God says, pray and seek my face. Seek God's blessing. Because when God's face shine upon us, we're blessed. But what are they praying for? All I keep hearing was hate for anybody that had a dark skin. I guess if you even had a tan, you were in trouble. All this hate in the last 4 years, they unleash the brown shirts, these thugs, these people that hate their neighbor because their neighbor was born by God's choice because of his creative work. We don't believe in evolution. It's nonsense. And yet they hate us because of what God did. Did they pray for that? And turn from their wicked ways. Was there any turning? We heard the encouragement of braggadocious hate and like, oh yeah, yeah, we the best, we whatever, because we murdered and enslaved people. Is that something to boast about? Notice here, then will I hear from heaven. Then. And so somebody might say, well, how do you know he didn't hear? Well, because the carnage increased. That's the point. The numbers show. One of the last studies that came out and I covered some of that. Because we covered this here, and for the sake of time, I don't have so much time. When the last numbers show is that almost in 35 different matrix, all the matrix that you can look at, 35, I think of them, America was almost always in the top 10 or number one for bad outcomes. Notice here, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So what has happened? The American carnage continue. American carnage continue. So I'll quickly go over some of these in a few minutes, but I'll just read out what normally some of the quick main ones you look at. Suicide rate, right? Suicide rate has not gotten worse last year. We're still waiting for the number. I think the number comes out in March or April. I think it goes from April to March or something like that. So that's not going to be pretty, but the preliminary numbers now are already out, and I'd cover a program on that the preliminary numbers are already up. And some places like Kentucky, interesting enough that Mitch McConnell is from, some of those states like Kentucky, their numbers are up to 60%, but the numbers will come up March, April. So we can see how the numbers have been steadily rising, and primarily young white men. Murder or homicide, those numbers, especially after the George Floyd killing went up, the police decided that they're going to do less work. Those numbers have gone up, and that is disproportionately affecting black men, shooting black men. As you know, black people don't manufacture no gun in America, but their society and community is flooded with illegal guns. Drug use and overdose from drug use, this has gone up in certain places again, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, those areas, and across the country. And those numbers soon to come out. So drug use, overdose. To be clear, talk about the American carnage. COVID has made it worse. The hospitals that are basically running into major problem because of the amount of drug overdose that they're dealing with. This has gotten worse. Again, COVID didn't help the situation, it made it worse. But this was going to increase. Homelessness, not an important factor to look at. Mass murders, gang culture, national debt, laws that enrich the poor. I mean, enrich the poor, that would be a good thing. Enrich the those are poverty. Cheap labor, targeting of criminals and freeing others, increasing targeting one set of criminals and freeing others, increased suicide and drug overdose in women, failing educational system and failing businesses. Now, the failing businesses is something I just meditate a little with you. So I'll deal with that towards the end. I'll come back to that list. Now, I'm going to read for you Jeremiah 8, verse 8 through 22. This is our main text of meditation for today. Jeremiah 8, verse 8 through 22. And I'm going to come back and talk about American carnage in a second. So this text is important. As you know, Jeremiah is important when we talk about in it. This can be applied, as you know, to any country, or you should know, to any country. Any country you can apply this concept of the American carnage to. And you can take lessons from the main major minor prophets because they were dealing with the destruction of Israel and what was happening in Israel and what was the mistakes or the bad choices being made by our leadership. The issues were the leaders, the priests and the princes and the king. They were making bad choices and it was destroying the people. And there came a point that the people were just set ripe for destruction. And it was a gradual destruction. First the 10 northern tribes, and then finally Judah, Benjamin, you know, I guess Simeon and Levi. So that's basically what ended up happening. So we study this because we get a very clear pattern, very well laid out pattern of from God's point of view, God's prophet's point of view, not some historian that can be viewed as, you know, tainted. But from a biblical solid point of view, what was happening? What was never addressed? And Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel primarily are our sources because they have so much material written down. So we get a very clear history of what took place in Israel. And when you look at it, you can see what's taking place in America. And you can go and apply it to just about any country that is permanently in a state of falling financially and socially. Because there's countries that basically their economic system and their social system is in a depressed state and they can't get out of it because these things here have not been addressed. So you can take these principles and apply to any country, and a country that, you know, if you say a country is a third world, basically it's a country that is in a depressed state, and the way to get it out of that state would be to study Israel and figure out how they got there and how not to get there and how to get out. Or you could study America to see how countries moving towards a third world country. And what are the steps they're taking? And you're going to find it's eerily similar. It's the same thing. And then now, for bonus points, which hopefully we probably not, because I don't know if I'm going to talk about it this week, but you know, I could, but I did normally like on a Friday when I do Wisdom for Living, I can apply it personally and I can show you, if you do these things, this is how you create yourself as a third world citizen, even in America. But if you do these things over here, this is how you can come out of a third world citizen status and become a first world nation. And this can be applied to you as an individual, to an institution, because I saw it, as I covered yesterday, I saw this type of third world behavior in the church many of the churches, they operate as if they're in a third world nation, or they're a third world nation. So we want to study this because we want to know how not to make these mistakes. Here we go, Jeremiah. This is one example. We do some tomorrow and then Friday. Jeremiah 8, verse 8 onwards. It says, how do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain he made it. The pen of the scribe is in vain. So there you go with very powerful, not the introduction of the chapter, but this part here I wanted to pick up at this point. So it says, how do you say we are wise? Right? Because wisdom means that you have knowledge and you have understanding, and you know to take those two concepts, the understanding of the knowledge you have and life and nature, and you make a decision. So if you say you're wise, I suppose to be able to see the results of that wise choice. Does that make sense? An example of this is you don't go and pick fights unnecessarily to say you're bad. You don't braggadociously go and attack a nation that does bioterrorism. They have bio weapons. Because one thing you know in life, you do not play zero-sum game. You don't go to a person that has the ability to kill you, and you have the ability to kill them, and say and challenge them to a fight to the death. Because one, you could die, or both of you could die. But you could inflict a mortal wound. So wisdom tells me that there's some things that you just do because you understand. You have enough knowledge and you grasp what you're studying and understanding, and you make choices. So how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Or you keep talking about God, 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 and you're making so much dumb decision. Lo, certainly they say in vain, he's made it, because it must be true. The pen of the scribes is in vain. What are they writing for? And this becomes the theme that we're going to read here. Something is wrong. There are many of the wise men in the country that are not on, say, Newsmax or Fox News, except those two areas, are saying, what is going on? Notice here, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. So there's something wrong, right? When the wisest, the counselors, the wise men that have sit in multiple positions in the government, as the head of various different police departments, in various different colleges, in various, the FBI, the CIA, except one person, and all these people, various generals, are saying, what happened? What is going on with the country? So this is the same thing that was going on in Israel. Imagine the wise men in Israel said, what's wrong? Because one thing you know, you could have some wise men, some of the wisest men, and you have just a marauding band of crazy people, and you don't know how to rule them because they've gone mad. And you can't reason with them, because if you reason with them, when you say, oh, he's a liberal from a college. Because I've noticed this in the church, that anytime people don't agree with somebody, it's easy to just tag them and label them, oh, they're liberal. And then after a while, everybody's liberal. And you start to say, we're the conservative, we're the wise men. You just dismiss people's argument because they don't line up with what you want, the wickedness that you want to do. So this is part of the basis of what's happening. You know, sometimes I see it as you have a people that is unrestricted, and they can't be reasoned with. And so after a while, wise people just learn to stay away and watch the carnage continue, because you can't do nothing, because they're not listening to, unless you say to them some catchphrase and talk stupidity to them. When you see that senators and congress people came out and said, we were going to vote a certain way because we're afraid for our lives and the lives of our family, you know you have a group of people that have gone barbaric. And in many countries, I'm going to tell you, growing up in a what you call a third world nation, or emerging nation, or whatever you want to call it, a lot of time people don't say certain things because they know they have such ignorance and stupid people that are very violent And so they keep quiet. Because they're living amongst wild animals. And to see that's the direction Israel went into, and that's the direction I see this country is going into. It's a lot of violent, ignorant people who are claiming all kind of weird conspiracy theory, and if you don't line up with it, they want to kill you. And they're saying, especially, they think they're doing God a favor because they don't know God and they don't know truth and they don't know history. Notice here. Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. To everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deal it falsely. So if nothing is true, this is so true. And what's happening? As he said, therefore I will give their wives unto thugs. I will give their wives unto others, it says here. I'll give their wives unto the same Mexicans that they're blaming and calling rapists. And what's happening? Because other parts of the Bible says, the Lord said, I'm going to kill your kids. And so you see these men, the Bible says, if you don't treat the stranger, the fatherless and widow, right, I'm going to kill you. And then who's going to have your wife? Right? And we see this literally happen. Because when the death rate went up, when it was announced that the death rate went up, I think in 2017 or something, it was clearly quickly seen that said most of the deaths were happening amongst men. And so who's having their wives and their kids? Right? We're not talking about some hypothetical here. We're talking about literally what's happening. Literally before you, right before your eyes. Many of those men that you see running there, COVID killed more men than women normally. Most of those men running in there, many of them won't be alive by the end of the year. Who's going to have their wives? Right? Because they're not worried about what they're supposed to worry about. They're taking care of their business. And so they want people to die, but they will die. And that's the reality. And notice here, if this ain't truth about any country and their preachers, this is America also running into the same problem. So they're all given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. It's the sad reality when you realize, and this is one of these kind of great enigma to my mind. This I know it's what the Bible predicts, but it's just this idea that the false prophets in America call their gospel the prosperity gospel. They just give it away. They just say, man, that the devil just tell them, like, call it so that everybody know you're really with me. And it's what we call it, prosperity gospel. We're not about the humble Jesus. We're about money. They love money. I see, that's how you know a country is going down. Where the people are supposed to be preaching righteousness. Their gospel, they don't even say we preach the everlasting gospel. They don't say we preach the gospel of money. They deal falsely. Notice here, verse 11. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. So they're telling them that things are going to be good, but they're not going to be good. They're not going to be good. Not until all this wickedness stops. Not until you stop murdering people and innocent people and you stop taking people, kids from them and locking them up and saying your excuse is you're free to do it because you market and you have a law and you're taking people, kids and separating them, but yet you're the first one to talk about your anti-abortion, your wickedness. So what happened? It says they're healed. So when you look at this concept here of they have healed the hurt of the Americans through the MAGA con and lies, those people that you see there saying, oh, we want our president, they've been deceived. There's no other way. There's no matrix I've looked at. And I'm willing to be challenged privately and publicly. Show me one pizza matrix of one thing that was done to heal the American carnage that was promised by the president. Nobody put him up to it. He did it himself. He said that that's what he was here to do. And the hurt has gotten worse because 4 more years... As you know, if you delay addressing a health problem, it gets worse. When we talk about all the suicide, that's a mental health problem. It doesn't get better 4 years later, it gets worse. Because you have 4 years of deficiency of nutrients for the brain, 4 years of mental thought that is more depressing, 4 more years of somebody encouraging you to hate your fellow human being and isolate yourself and be more of an incel, became more famous under this president. 4 more years of that. That's not going to be better. That's going to make you worse. You're going to be more antisocial. Hate does not. One thing they say about incel, and you can check it out. I've looked at it. One thing that's consistent with incels, I-N-C-E-L, those young men that can't get a wife or a girlfriend and that do most of the mass shootings and stuff in the country, is that they say consistent. There's 3 groups of incels. Some of them, you know, they're okay. They can't get somebody, but they're so obnoxious, nobody won't go with them. Some of them feel like they're too ugly to get anybody. And whatever the reason is. But, and then some are disabled. And with that group, one thing is consistent, they say, amongst all 3 groups is that they hate black people. So they practice to hate, and yet they want to love somebody, want someone to love them. Can't practice hate. You'll never meet a person that's hating somebody, and they're not hateful, period. I challenge anybody on that. They're just hateful. So notice here, they have healed the hurt. I read it again. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. So there's healing. It's all in their heads. There's no literal healing going on. Slightly. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. There was never going to be no peace for Israel. Things were going to get worse. To heal the hurt, one has to address what's causing the hurt. But you can't go and see all these young men are in trouble. All these young men are in trouble. And you go and feed them more of what's causing them the trouble. Oh yeah, great. Go hate. Go online and go on YouTube and whatever and get up every day long and just talk hate and listen to people that talk hate. And that's going to heal them. It's going to heal them slightly because they're going to feel good. But the end result is not going to be good. It's just their mental health going to get worse. Their social health is going to get worse. And everything health is going to get worse for them. Can't live on hate every day. But that's what they did. So notice here, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So they're not ashamed because they're doing abominations. Notice everybody, every time. I was fascinated by, I'm curious always about who these people are. I'm less curious about sometimes the rest of it because sinners are going to do what sinners do. So I'm not really impressed by people's sin. I'm just curious about what's their life story. But one thing I've always been interested in, and I encourage you to check this out also, every time you hear about one of these people, go try to find some background information on them. Find an interview, find something. What are you doing here? This is what you're finding out, right? Because this is what I've been fascinated by. Often when they interview them and they try to find out, you know, because they always talk bad about other people and they're the best, whatever. Best Christian, best American. When they interview them and they question them on these things, they always fall apart. A lot of time they'll question them on, are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, you know, I espouse certain principles, but I'm not a Christian. And you'll be like, what? So how are you the bastion of morality and who is the best, whatever? Who? But yeah, you're not a Christian. So I remember they asked Richard Spencer, the alt-right guy. You can check out his name, Richard Spencer. Alt-right. And when they asked him, are you a Christian? He said, well, you know, I espouse certain principles, but I'm not really a Christian. I'm a Christian thing, cultural Christian, but not really a Christian. So he's asking people, he's willing to cause people to be murdered to stand up for principles that he's not living by. People like Alex Jones, they talk about religious and they talk religiosity, but they're not Christians. So that you see, it's trickery. You see, you're expecting people to live by a standard that you yourself don't live by. They ask the guy that does Patriot Prayer, the head, I can't remember his name, Patriot Prayer guy. Are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm not a Christian. But if people want to pray, you know, we want them to pray. You'd be like, oh, that's an interesting name for a racist, hateful group. And some people say, well, he can't be racist, hateful, like, because he's a mixed race. Well, you know, ask him who is his father, who inculcated all this craziness in his head from a child. So you get this idea here, you know, they'll put these, you know, if you look at the guy that was the head of Proud Boys, when McInnes, I think his name is, stepped down from Proud Boys, he turned over to a half, you know, a half white, I guess, a mixed race person from Cuba to spout the hate. And then you find out the guy's a felon. This is not somebody that is, and then, you know, they was arrested in Washington, D.C. for having bullets and stuff like that. So you know trouble was coming from Monday when they arrested him. But the government basically said, well, you know, these guys are good guys. They're patriots. They're ex-military and ex-this and ex-that. They don't do bad. And yet they're arresting him felons. So when they arrested him and you look at it, you say, well, he's a felon. And but he's supposed to be standing for the Constitution, but he was breaking the law. Very interesting. And how much of these guys you see they're arrested and you see they have tattoos in their face? Normally, most of the time in the past, they used to say, you know, if a person have a tattoo in their face, they're a mass murderer. There's some rapist that raped multiple women and stuff like that. So hence, I read back. I say all that to say, weren't they not ashamed, the Bible said, when they had committed abomination? You see, that's the question. These are some of the most vile, vomiting type of human beings. But yet they're telling us that they're more American and they stand for the Constitution. But we ask them, have you read the Constitution? They say, well, no. Are you familiar? You're breaking the Constitution. You're breaking the laws of the country. No. But I'm the true American. Really? Are you Christian? Well, you know, I culturally, you know, I believe in Christian ideas. Well, how you know what is a Christian ideal? From the Pentecostal pastors? From the prosperity gospel pastors? It was weird. So again, they heal them slightly because they're deceived. They're fighting for something they don't know. If you don't know the Constitution, and you don't know what it is to be a true American, and you don't know the Bible, and you don't know what it is to be a true Christian, how are you fighting for it? How can you fight for something you're ignorant of? That's, to me, the million-dollar question that baffles my mind. Because I'm willing, you know, when I'm watching this stuff, I'm always excited because I want to see. I've been trying to find for many years now, these true Christians that are willing to murder people for Christianity. I'm like excited. I'm like, yeah, now we're going to finally hear from this bastion of righteousness and morality what it is like to follow Jesus. And then they fizzle on the questioning. Sad. But yet they're willing to murder people in the name of the great physician who healed the sick and feed the poor and took care of the widow and the fatherless and the stranger. Sad. And these are the people saying they're following Christ, but I think they're following somebody else. It's Satan. They're Satanists. That's why they have all those tattoos in their face. Murderers. Notice here, verse 13, I will surely consume them, says the Lord. Therefore, there shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. It's happening, and it's not going to keep stop, because all this wickedness and hate, there has to be a punishment for it. God is consistent. It does not change. Verse 14 says, why do we sit still? Assemble yourself and let us enter into the defense city, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God had put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Literally being fulfilled. The snorting of his horses were heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the nine of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart, it is faint in me. Behold, the voice of cry of the daughter of my people, because them that dwell in a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? That's another important thing. As I say, if you're looking at what's going on, you see both from the left and the right, there's more an embrace of the Western mythologies and the Western concept and these all kind of lies about evolution and all kind of foolishness. It's corrupting the country and making the country divorce herself from God. And instead of addressing this, what they're trying to do is murder people and blaming foreigners and blaming minorities for their suffering and not blaming their wickedness and their rebellious heart for their suffering and their vanities and strange vanities. So notice here, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not safe. Time has passed. Things are getting worse. And all the last 4 years, remember these 4 years cannot be divorced from the megachurch pastors because they were the big promoters that the president is the greatest president and will heal the country. And that if you just put in the right Supreme Court justice, there will be results. God will bless the land. And what we're seeing here is more violence or more death and more destruction because they're doing everything wrong, as my premise for this week. Everything they're doing to save the country is actually the things that is causing the destruction of the country. So what happened now to Isaiah? What happened to Jeremiah? What does he say here in verse 21 now? It says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I'm hurt. He says, I'm black. Astonishment had taken hold on me. He said, the hurt he's seen, it just is like a stunning. Because you see the people hurting. You see the deaths. You see the despair. You see the suicides. And yet those same people who are hurting are trying to kill people, threatening to kill the Speaker of the House and kill the Vice President. Because they're hurt. And it makes you hurt. It makes you feel for them. Even though they're violent and dangerous. And even though that because of the crookedness of billionaires like Donald Trump, that these people could end up repeating what we call a French Revolution and start just chopping people head off. I don't know whose head they're chopping off. They're just upset with everybody. Because at the end of the day, their hurt is still there. See, today, they're still in their sufferings. The problems are still there. There's some people that are living well on the off the back of the poor. But the poor that are suffering in Kentucky and West Virginia, they think it's everybody else. That is not causing them pain. It's causing them pain. They know that they're being robbed. They just don't know who's robbing them. So it's astonishment. Because that's what you call like just double confusion. The people that you're supporting that's going to stop your carnage are the people causing the carnage. And if there's nothing more confusing than that, I don't know. It's like, you know, when a person is stuck because they were told that the brown-skinned man that gave them Obamacare is their enemy. The person who's willing to give them meals on wheels and take care of their suffering is actually the enemy because they're socialists. But the person, the billionaires who's only paying semi-confirmed $750 worth of tax is their friend. That's to me supposed to be a terrible deception. And part of the deception is come on the heels of racism. Because as long as you're robbing them and you have the right skin color, you're good. That to me is a terrible deception. That to me is an idol. To me, the society has made skin color an idol to their own hurt. It's one thing if they were doing it and it was blessing them, I would say, man, take your blessing. Go ahead. Run one time around the track and take your laurels and celebrate. Praise the Lord. But you're suffering. And they're using the thing that you think is your advantage and they're using it against you. That's a terrible deception. I'll read again. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I'm hurt. I feel it for people. I see them there and they want to ransack. And they're kind of right. They want to ransack the capital and they want to drain the swamp of the swamp monsters. But they don't know is that the swamp monsters that are trying to help them are their enemy. This is often the problem. Because they have been fed a philosophy that if somebody tried to help you in your bad situation, that person's your enemy. It is a terrible place to be, in a terrible deception. And the person that is robbing you blind is your friend. In the other parts, the prophet said they call good evil and evil good. Last year, verse 22, before I go back to the carnage. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? What is happening? Is there a solution? Normally, that's why you have a physician, right? Normally, that's why you have a balm. So why are they not recovering? Is they not seeing a physician? Are they not getting some balms for the wound? And the answer is no. The physician have not seen them. They don't understand what a balm is. I mean, literally. I mean, I'm not even saying. They can't even see a physician. In Georgia, they have the number one rate of women dying because they don't get OBGYN care. And other reasons, by like obesity and bad diet. But that's part of seeing a nutritionist. So they get pregnant and they die in childbirth. And this is not just in the urban areas, just in case somebody gets confused, because so much things in America is always talked about by race. But because they literally no physician there. So this is a confusion, because Jeremiah said, is there no physician there? And then you say, well, no, actually. They have a shortage of physician. I'm like, why? We have so many universities. What happening? Why are we not training physicians? And he said, isn't there no balm there? They say, oh, they're not into balms. They think that's a liberal conspiracy. Really? They don't familiar with balms? I remember I was talking to somebody and I say, do you know purge? Like, you know, you understand the concept of a purge? And the person said, I know you purge like a tube, a pipe. But to purge, we mean purge a human being? And I'm like, and I remember seeing an article in one of the major fake news media, as they call it. And they were saying most Americans are not familiar with a purge. And I was like, oh, so it was not one person. It's people not familiar. So is there no bomb? They're like, no, we don't use bomb. Use drugs? Yeah, we use drugs, but no bomb. So there's no bomb, literally. It's not that the bomb is not there. We don't buy it. We don't know bombs. So we're not getting no healing. So there's no recovery of the health. So there's people right now who's depressed, friendless. And if their only friend would be some of the black, they would probably want to shoot themselves in the head. Because somebody told them, no, you can't talk to that person. Why? So there's no balm. There's no healing. Somebody said, I can't get a wife. And I said, well, there's some people over there looking for a husband. Oh, no, they're not my type. Really? So you're going to stay over there by yourself and die in loneliness? So there's balms. There's just not, they don't want that balm. They've been told that there's only one balm they can take. And so, is there no balm in Gilead? There is. Is there no, well, there probably none. They stopped making a balm. Because the balm company went out of business. Because there's nobody buying their balms. And the physicians, he's partying. He's not going to school to become a physician. So there's literally no physician. So why then is the daughter of the people not recovered? They can't recover. They just don't want the recovery. So what we're dealing with here, the American carnage that the president talked about. The carnage is happening. High rates of suicide. You cannot just keep sowing hate and hate and hate and war. That does not help people who need mental health, social health, physical health. You cannot sell this concept, which is one of the big concepts that was shocking to me. That if you're conservative, you don't eat natural. You eat meat because you're a real man. I'm like, so much of these young men, their mental health is because they eat too much animal. The animal has gotten to their brain with its hormones. Another important factor is social. Another important factor is nutrients. But that's in some of those areas, that's not going to happen. We just eat meat and potato and that's it, and we die. We suffer. And by the time we hit 40, we look like we're a 60-year-old man. Our body's been beaten by all this big manufacture of meat and milk and stuff like that. But they don't want to hear no health message. And a lot of the brain problem can be simply solved by literally some soy. Sad to say, but they say that's a soy boy. Literally by some flaxseed. A lot of the mental health problem. Literally by just being friendly to people and stop hating. So there's no bomb. And what happened in the last 4 years has been rough for those who are in this vile type of behavior. The murder rate has gone up. I was looking at one yesterday where this black guy went and murdered 3 innocent people and shot 3 more people. They're I guess, struggling or recovering in hospital. And he had videos posted where you can see he's stalking crazy. You don't know if he's demon-possessed or if he's just mentally ill or he's off his drugs. But he mad. But he has a gun. Legal or illegal, we don't know yet. And he took 3 innocent people's life and shot up other people. One lady, I think 80-something years old, shot her in the head. She's struggling for her life. And yet you go to these people who they're thinking is for them. And you say to them, at least minimum, if somebody's mentally ill, they shouldn't have access to a legal gun. You know, it's one thing to talk about illegal, because they say, oh, criminals can get illegal gun. Illegal gun. Let them get it, illegal gun. But at least don't let them get legal gun. Why we can't fix that problem? Oh, no, we can't, because we're taking away mentally ill people's freedom to kill people. And over again, almost all mass murderers, a high percentage of them, are on some mental health drugs prescribed. Their doctors know they're ill. And yet they have a gun. And then sooner or later, they go and wipe people out. Drug overdose and drug use problem is getting worse and worse. And it's creating so much homelessness, which is another problem. And those two things can be addressed. Might never be able to be 100% fixed, but addressed, especially the society should be motivated to address it, because so much of the homeless people are veterans. And yet they talk all this veteran stuff. But why don't one try to address this? But for 4 years, President knew coming in that this was a big problem. Never even addressed it. What was done? Nothing was done. So this is part of the thing that we're dealing with. So why is there no healing? Because everybody's playing games. While they're just robbing for themselves billions of dollars, millions of dollars. It's just robbed from the economy. And so we're moving more and more towards a third world nation. But if a nation want to get out of a third world status, you address these problems. And voila, guaranteed. We're not talking about some hypothetical. You're guaranteed fixed. And the third world status lifted. And this can be done within, I believe, 48 years. No question asked. I don't even challenge this in my mind anymore. I'm settled this fact. You could give me any third world nation and you apply certain principles and certain governances and certain solutions to heal the hurt of the people. And the nation within a few years, less than probably a decade or a decade, will be out of a third world status. Third world status is just a mindset. It's a third world mindset. Mass murderers, this is unique to hear, where people just go into murder innocent people. That calmed down on the COVID, because a lot of the mass murders were confined at home. This was one of the beautiful things of COVID. COVID-19, it cut the mass murder rate. So most of the people were just abusing their family in their home. Gang culture, that calmed down for a few months and then it jumped back up again. By summer, you know, summer, it's too hot for the cockroaches to stay inside, so they went out and started murdering people. But this again can be addressed. Address gang culture and stop going after people for simple marijuana possession. You solve a lot of the problem. National debt increase, that is out of control. Law to enrich a few while oppressing others, that can be addressed. But Congress would have to address that. Cheap labor, we can address that. Increase the minimum wage. I say, man, give it to $10. Give it to $9. Just do an increase. They have refused to do it from under Obama time. And by now, they could have just increased the minimum wage to $10. But they're arguing over $15. I'm like, man, take something. And so forth and so on. So we're going to talk more, because this is more going in towards current events. But we need the healing of the nation. And if we don't, well, you, if you're listening wherever you're from, the same principles applied will heal any nation. And if you can't heal the nation, same principles apply, will heal yourself. And you will do better in this life. And you will not live as a third world person, because many people, that's all it is. They're living as a third world person. They'll lift themselves out of poverty and suffering. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you for the blessings of your word. I thank you for delivering myself and also those who listen from a third world mindset, from an oppressive mindset where we're oppressing each other and being oppressed. Thank you for delivering us, dear Lord, and set us on high that we shall eat the fat of the land and the good of the land. May you bless us, dear Father. May we be a blessing to those we come in contact with. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being with me here on Revive Reform Radio. Looking forward to talking to you again live tomorrow morning where we should talk about current events. Until then, I pray that you may continue to walk with the King.